I'm Stacy.
And I'm Lois.
Hang on a second. I think I have to start again because I think I said before I said
you
that.
You didn't. You
I didn't?
No.
Oh, keep okay.
On rolling.
And this is Whose Girl Are You? Today we're going to talk about coping skills.
Yeah. We're going to kind of follow up on last week's discussion.
Yeah. So this is more about, well, so we had talked about feeding your soul and how to work that out and build muscle. But I mean, and that's something we can talk about for sure. But coping skills, I think, is a part of it.
Yes, agreed.
And it's something I've been thinking about quite a bit over the last number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Because my natural doctor has made comments. You know, when someone makes a comment, you just kind of whatever. But then when you realize someone's making the same sort of comment to you multiple times over a period of time, mm-hmm. all of a sudden one day it just kind of clicks with you. And she kept making comments about anytime I would be in there falling apart in some mm-hmm. respect,
mm-hmm.
she'd say, well, yeah, I think part of it is people don't learn coping skills. You see, she was never directing it at me necessarily, mm-hmm. but I kind of knew what she meant. And so at some point I said, well, how do you develop coping skills? And like, what are they even?
Yeah.
So I started looking into it a little bit.
Yeah. So what's the definition?
Good question. The definition of coping skill. I mean, my definition.
Mm-hmm.
My definition is the things that you can do to take care of your mind and body in stress,
mm-hmm.
especially in stress. Like, how do you deal with stress?
During difficult times, whether it's work mm-hmm. stress, relationship stress, physical, actual, like trauma or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ton of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Or a ton of different things.
Yeah. So because I knew we were going to be talking about this today, I was online doing some reading and stuff about it, you know, to see if mm-hmm. I could learn more than what I already know. And I came across this. It was on something kind of like Psychology Today type of thing.
Okay.
You know? So it's not necessarily a Christian thing. But mm-hmm. anyway, there was a wheel. And I kind of laughed when I saw it because my whole life is going to be condensed down into wheels because I have that feelings wheel.
Yeah. Yep.
As the core ones at the – and then it describes out from there so that I could start putting better language to my feelings.
Yeah.
Which is actually a coping skill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your wheels are interlocked intermingled.
And then I found two other wheels. One of them was about healthy coping skills and the other one was unhealthy coping skills or what they call maladaptive coping skills. And it's kind of crazy because along the way I've learned all of the healthy coping skills, but mm-hmm. I'm not super proficient at using them at all times.
Right.
But I know about them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I've practiced and I can use pretty well, but not all of them. And then I looked at the maladaptive coping skills wheel mm-hmm. and I have at some point used all of them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So can you guess what? Do you want to start with the good or the bad?
Let's start with the bad and then we can move to something better instead of starting with good and then ending and giving people all the terrible things that they do or don't do. And whoops, too bad for you.
Okay, we'll go with the bad then.
Yeah.
So I guess let me ask you first, does it come to mind at all when I say poor coping skills? Does anything in your life, like have
come
you
to
used?
Mind? Yes. Yeah, yeah. I have used poor coping skills.
What have do you are you willing to share what
I'm willing to share some of them.
Okay.
I used to be a liar.
Mm.
That is a terrible way to cope with anything that's coming up against you as a trauma or as a confrontation, maybe. It feels confrontive when someone comes up to you and says, hey. Or just walks in the room and says, hey, who drank the last Diet Coke? And you're like, that was me. But you're not going to say anything, right? Because you're going to get in trouble. Or mm-hmm. it feels like that. It feels like you can be a full grown 40-year-old adult. Doesn't matter. Like, I feel vulnerable right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lie is a quick way to get out of, if you're not going to get caught, then you just say, don't know. Know nothing about that Diet Coke, you know? And it's,
I was going to ask you, like, lying to other people to avoid potential, what you perceive as getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. You ever lied to yourself? Like,
oh yes. Oh my word. That's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because lying to someone else, at least if you know the truth yourself, you know, there's a glimmer of hope that you're going to be able to acknowledge it someday and deal with it. But if you're lying to yourself, you're not even aware that there's a problem.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would call it lying to yourself, but it's more like dismissive, like almost acting like there is no, like, you know, there's
avoidance.
A problem.
Avoidance.
Avoidance.
Yes.
Avoidance more than lying. But I think they're a little bit tangled together in some ways, right? Because mm-hmm. you're lying to yourself if you think you can just pretend it doesn't exist and it won't exist.
Yeah. And it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Right. Another one is running away, which is kind of also avoidance. Just like not engaging with, if it's a discussion that needs to happen, you know, some problem needs to be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just avoid and avoid and avoid and basically run away.
Yeah. So I found that wheel that I was talking about.
Yes.
So when it talks about actions, the fourth thing in the center, you picture the center of the wheel, it's actions, personal abilities, social resources, available options, right? So mm-hmm. you're talking about actions right now, and this would probably fall into escape.
Mm-hmm.
And in the escape, then on the very outer side of the wheel, the things are of escape, and I think we've all done these, cognitive avoidance,
mm-hmm.
behavioral avoidance, mm-hmm. denial,
mm-hmm.
and wishful thinking,
mm-hmm.
instead of facing reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is because then we feel like we need to, if we actually come to terms with it, then we might have to do something about it.
Yes, so, if we acknowledge it, then there's something to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not cool. So that's under actions. And then available options, the two things are submission and opposition. So mm-hmm. people, this is a lot depending on your personality. If you're one that's going to go on the attack, blaming others, projecting your stuff onto them, being aggressive, right? That's like really negative behavior or whatever. But the submission part, maybe a different personality would be more rumination. So internally just ruminating on the thing.
Yeah.
Or, intrusive thoughts, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if
you're beating yourself up more than beating the other person up. One mm-hmm. aggressive, what'd you
one's
say?
More inward, one's more outward. So it's opposition and submission. And can you guess which one I fall into?
You're so submissive, Stacey.
You're so full of it, Lois.
Neither one of us can say we're very submissive. We both tend to have a little opposing things going on.
Yeah. I mean, my personality just doesn't lend to rolling over.
I know.
When I'm in a stressful situation.
No, I don't either. Mm-hmm. I don't do it well.
So how about this? You ever fall for this? Here's another one of the negative coping things. Isolation.
Oh, yes. You know what? I'm going to tell you, and I probably have said this on this podcast before because we've been doing it for a while, but the pandemic really, really got to me with that. Isolation was not good for me. I was a mess in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, skipping church and skipping school and skipping like all the things, social things that you do to connect with people. Man, I was just not okay.
I think a lot of people realized how bad that is mm-hmm. to do. you know, and I don't know. Here's the thing. Before the pandemic, I never did it.
No, of course not. Why would you?
Well, actually, let me take that back. That's not 100% true. Because there were some times I wasn't doing super well, like in my addictions and stuff.
I
did actually isolate from a lot of people because I didn't want them to see how I was, I suppose, or whatever.
Right.
I didn't want them to call me out. And, you know, it was a combination of isolation and escapism and all of it.
Yeah.
Avoidance tactics and all of it wrapped together. But that's and now that I say that, like drinking and smoking and things of that nature too are all coping skills.
Totally.
Negative coping skills.
Yes.
So here's what do you think? Why do you think they define some as so all of them work to some degree? Mm-hmm. The negative ones and the positive ones are what they call good coping strategies and bad coping strategies. They all work for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think the difference is between good ones and bad ones?
Bad ones are going to fail you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking is just going to cause more problems, or smoking, or running away, or telling lies, or whatever.
Or overeating, or
overworking,
or, you know, start naming them.
Yeah.
So I never really thought about it, but it's also a lot of the negative ones can turn into addictive behaviors.
Oh, absolutely.
And it can end up being like you're using this thing to cope with a problem you have, or a stressor that keeps coming up that you don't know how to cope with. So you're using this thing, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, that thing you're using to cope becomes the primary problem.
Yeah, it's worse than the problem that you started
Exactly. It's the worst than the problem you're trying to help yourself with.
Yeah.
So now you have two problems.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the stress, and now you have this other thing you have to deal with. Now you've created another thing. This is why it's such a deception and it's so tricky, because at the beginning it works so well.
Yeah.
And you don't really see for yourself when it's not working anymore. Because now you've created a habit.
Yeah.
And you just keep going back to that habit. It's like your default. Oh, when that happens, I will do this. You know, when I'm super stressed out and have had a bad day, I'm going to do this thing, whatever that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that thing becomes the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so crazy.
Yeah.
So any of these negative coping things are just enemy tactics.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And, you know, you can dive deeper into like all of it. And one of the things that came up that I was even looking at, and I have never fallen into this one, but self-harm. I mean, some people could say I was self-harming but not like
smoking and drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that. I mean, I definitely wasn't treating my body well, but they even talk about cutting.
Yeah.
And in the article, it was actually really kind of revealing to me. I've known of a lot of probably a handful of young girls that have fallen into the cutting thing. And I never really quite understood that. But when I was reading the article, it said that cutting is actually gives the person the feeling of control and relief
over
something that feels out of control, and they feel helpless, and it gives them that like momentary. And so when I thought about it, because they wrote it right on the heels of the other addictions and stuff that I have fallen prey to.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it now, because I did the same thing, but with different things. And I understand that, like, even the, you know, getting drunk it fixes your problem momentarily, because you forget all about your problem. till the next morning.
Yeah.
But the next morning it's still there. And so I never understood the cutting thing, because I just thought it would be a lot of pain for very little relief. And I don't know how long the relief lasts with that, but does it matter? The whole point is we all are trying to figure out a way to feel better.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's only for a short time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Few minutes, few hours.
Yeah.
A few days, like whatever. I don't know, whatever thing that people are doing, but.
Yeah.
The end of the, it was a pretty long article, but at the end of it, they're talking about these, and it says, in conclusion, coping skills are essential tools that can help us manage difficult thoughts, feelings, and situations. Whether you're dealing with stress, anxiety, depression, or simply the ups and downs of everyday life, coping skills can help you feel better and function more effectively. Mm-hmm. Good ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the thing you're doing is not, in fact, falling into that, it's probably a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not helping you deal with
mental, emotional, and behavioral. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyday life or real stressors, either mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did a lot more screenshots on the good stuff because the bad mm-hmm. stuff, I read about it and I thought, oh man, I can relate to this way too much. And in a nutshell, I'll say this, and this is psychology stuff, right? A lot of it, they say, is linked to stuff that you learned growing up. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it was built into you when you were a child. So it said, like, if you grew up in a really volatile house or a house where emotions weren't regulated, because mm-hmm. a lot of this is emotional dysregulation stuff.
Yeah.
So if your people that were raising you weren't emotionally regulated, they weren't modeling that for you on how to deal with stress. So they were flying into fits of rage and falling yep. into drinking and, you yep. know, whatever.
Throwing things skills. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Slamming doors and all of the things.
Yeah.
Like that's, you're going to, you know, actions speak a lot louder than words, and kids are watching. And when they see that happen, that's how they think you handle the stress.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and so it's not shocking if you grew up in a house where anger was present and fits of rage were how it was dealt with, that you will eventually end up finding yourself doing that. I mean, I found myself doing that. It was modeled mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
God by the grace praised. Of God.
Yes.
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 Yeah. That was a long journey of repentance and healing for me to bring my emotions into check and to bring them under the authority of Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in me to have self-control. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
Self-control.
Yep.
You know, so once I came to be saved and walk with the Lord, I was able to overcome that. Do I still sometimes feel rage rise up inside of me to, like, oh, I don't know if anyone's, ooh, like I can feel my ears getting hot. And I think.
I think you are one step away from making a really, really, really big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
One step. You rein it in right now or you're going to mm-hmm. regret it so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing is before I was walking with the Lord, I would feel that come up in me and I didn't have control. I didn't mm-hmm. have self-control. Mm-hmm. I would think, you know, I don't know. Actually, did I think? It came flying out.
Yeah.
I'd slam a door and open it to slam it again. I've told you
yeah.
that before.
Yeah.
It's actually bad living in new houses and stuff where things don't.
They don't slam. They have soft closed cupboards. What are you going to do with those?
Yeah. Yeah. No. So frustrating, right? Like, what do you... So... but I didn't have the self-control. So now when I feel it rise up in me, it doesn't happen super often, but there's some... I've had my buttons pushed and I feel it rise up in me, and only by the grace of God am I able to have control over that. I mean, and I have to walk away. I'm not going to yeah. lie. Like I can't sit in it. Like I have to walk away.
Right.
And exert some sort of physical, not anything.
Separation.
Damaging, right?
Separation.
Like, I mean, I'm better off running around the corner and doing some jumping jacks or yep. something. I yep. need to get some energy out because yep. It's like this energy built up that wants to just come bursting.
Like a
you shake up a can of soda and throw it.
Yeah. Or Jacob's ladder where it goes, the lightning goes up the thing and like sparks.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of stuff is learned, and even the flip side of that, because like I talked about, like I was kind of joking, we both are more verbal and not as quiet and submissive and go into withdrawal, but that's the same thing. If you grew up in a household where when you got in trouble, you got the silent treatment.
Yeah.
And you were almost shunned and rejected.
Yeah.
It feels awful, but you'll find that it'll be an easy thing for you to default to in stress because that's what you were taught when you were young. Unless you're very mindful and you're very self-aware and you can learn something different. And that's the beauty of it is we all can.
Yes.
You know, if we want to.
Just so you know, there is a chainsaw outside and I hope it's not picking up on my mic, but I'm just letting you know in case.
I don't hear it.
Okay, good. Hopefully nobody does. If it does, sorry, you're going to hear a chainsaw.
Yep. Too bad. See my gift of mercy coming up?
Yes, yes.
Too bad.
Too bad, so sad. shoot.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think we just have to be mindful of that.
I think you're right that mindfulness is hugely important in overcoming childhood coping skills of any kind, good or bad. You don't want to get over good ones. You want to keep the good ones. Don't throw those ones away. But mindfulness, awareness, ask someone else to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good way to evaluate. Because for me, at least, I find I don't tend to evaluate myself clearly. I look at myself and either I'm beating myself up or if I was in a fight with someone, I'm justifying my actions. You know, either one, I'm either way wrong and beating myself up or way right. And they're all just dog meat for even thinking that. So I feel like getting someone else's input can be really helpful in that situation.
I feel like spouses are the most brutally honest because they live with you and I live with them, right? Like, so sometimes you see something in your spouse that it just doesn't make, there's a contradiction.
Yeah.
And so
I think I've best had them friends do that too.
Well, and I think we should, if we see something that's just being, it's going to be hurtful for everyone in the long run, you're best off to call it out. But
yeah. Yeah. That's hard to do if you're an avoider. Ooh-wee.
Yeah. And the thing is the avoidant, they're in self-preservation mode.
Yeah.
They're not thinking of the other person. They're thinking of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's something you have to be careful of, right? You know, a lot of people be like, oh no, I'm not going to step in that. That's none of my business. You know, that kind of thing. I'm just going to avoid it. No, you're protecting your own hide.
Yeah.
You're worried about how they're honestly going to feel. And like, if someone is kind enough to, like, with love, point something out to me, you know, I'll feel a little pricked for a minute. But if it's really true and loving, like, I'm going to come around to really thinking about it. And it's happened to me before, and it's been very beneficial in my life.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But people are hesitant about it. Like, okay, here's a good exercise then. If you could think of one word, like it's an action word, right? One word that you could tell me to help me be a better person, what would it be?
One word, action word.
Like, want me to give you an example to help you like think about this?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Forgive.
Because
some of us may have a hard time with that. Just saying. I don't like to forgive.
Mm-mm.
It costs and I don't like it. It's not right. It's wrong. God forgive me for my lack of forgiveness, because I sure expect or desire his forgiveness, his grace, you know. But man, this whole forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Ooh-wee. It's easy to expect forgiveness and not give it.
Yep.
So what's your one word?
For you?
Yeah.
Acceptance.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
So I had asked one of the elders after I'd worked at the church for a little while, Could you give me any advice on like how to do the job better or some corrective criticism or whatever? I can't remember how I worded it. And he said, I will give you one word. Collaborate.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said, okay, because I can be fiercely independent and to a fault.
Yes. Yes.
And it was, that was already years ago and I still remember it. It's kind of funny. Like it was very impactful for me.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes we don't have to go on and on and on, tell people what they should do and how they should be and whatever. Sometimes you're like, you know, I have a word that keeps coming to me that I think you just need to think on. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, it could be a start for the avoidant. I don't have any problem pointing out all your flaws. Just kidding.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not true. I'm not a hurtful person.
No.
And I know I have a lot of my own, you know, I try to be self-aware, but we're all got blinders on for survival, yes, I think.
We have blind spots in our own, toward our own problems.
Yeah. And I mean, some of it is because we're walking around with some scars and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Like someone came in on Sunday morning and I was hollering across the lobby about like, oh, the coffee will be ready in just a minute or whatever. And someone said, oh, I could pick that voice out of anywhere or something like that. And it turned around, it was a friend of mine from South Carolina. And I said, oh, right away, this was my default. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so loud.
Yeah.
Because I've been told that so much. And she said, no, I didn't think that at all. I was just thinking I can pick your voice.
Yeah.
Out of a crowd.
Yeah.
Not because you're loud, just because it's your voice. And yeah. I was like, oh, and then she gave me a hug. So I didn't feel insulted when she had said it, but I almost like I was apologetic. Mm-hmm. And then 2 seconds later, I was not apologetic. I was
hugging her and laughing,
hugging her and being like, oh, okay, you didn't like mean that. But
yeah,
I've heard it so much. I just automatically thought that's what it was because I carry scars.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's default. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
One of the defaults that you can turn to for a negative coping skill too is negative self-talk. You need to do better.
Yeah.
Quit doing that. Don't be like that. Quit eating that. Like, you're so dumb, you know? And people don't think that that's like a coping skill, but it is.
Yeah.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah.
And that one's an easy transition. Okay. You can keep doing the exact same thing. You can keep doing self-talk.
Keep talking.
And it can turn into a positive coping skill. If you have positive self-talk, it's okay. You made a mistake. You're learning.
Yeah.
Instead of you're so dumb that you did that wrong. Mm-hmm. Did you learn from it? Okay, good. Yeah. Moving on, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can start talking to yourself and that's if your default has been negative for a long time, you're going to have to keep catching yourself and catching yourself and catching yourself and then correcting it with something. And that goes right back to what we were talking about, I think last time, about taking every thought captive under the obedience of the scripture.
Yes. Yes.
So,
and that's the other thing I was going to say, we can negatively self-talk, but the devil will self-talk us all day long, man. He is the king of negative talking to us.
The it's accuser not self-talk. Of, he's he called is the accuser
of the brothers. He is it. And he does it well. Mm-hmm. And we need to, like you said, submit to the scriptures, use them as our guide, use the Holy Spirit as our truth. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and life, right? Mm-hmm. So his truth is the only truth there is. And when he talks to us, he never, never, the law is condemning. The scripture can be very condemning. When it says, you shall not kill, and then it says, if you're angry at your brother, you've killed in your heart. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, ouch. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's me. I was angry. But God is always gracious to those who repent. And when they say, oh, I'm so sorry, I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate response is grace. God is so gracious.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely true. And the other thing is people that negative self-talk a lot, and we all have done it, but some are just, it's their default. I would ask them, and I have asked them, would you ever talk to me like that?
Yeah.
Would you ever say those things? Would you ever say those things to anybody else in your life ever? And they were like, never would I ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, like if you had negative self-talk, I would say, Lois.
Yeah.
Be Stop. Kind to Lois.
Yeah.
Like, I would never allow you to talk like that to our other friend or to me.
Yeah.
And like, why should I allow you to talk to yourself? If you share with me that that's like what you're, and you can usually tell if you're a friend with someone, and like, because what's in the heart comes out the mouth.
Yep. Yep.
You know, what's in the mind comes out the mouth eventually.
Yep. Yep.
And so you'll start hearing, if you start hearing them always berating themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to back to identity and who does God say you are? And if you don't know who God says you are, then where's your starting point?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if I'm ripping apart my body because I don't like how my butt's too big and my boobs are too small and my hair is too gray, am I beautifully and wonderfully made or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Or no. Like, did he screw up?
No, he did not. He doesn't screw up ever.
You know, so exactly. So like you have to know these things. You have to know that he knit you together in your mother's womb from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
That he knew that you were going to be here and going through this certain thing.
And
that,
you're going to have gray hair and you're going to have, you know, too big of a butt or too small of a butt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the physical thing that I'm ripping apart, you know, if it's my ability to do something, well, same thing. Maybe you're doing something he didn't create you to do.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe you're not supposed to carry the stress that your husband is supposed to carry.
Right.
Maybe you should focus on what it is that you were called to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so I don't know. It's a lot of times our focus is off or we don't know the truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do need friends to say, you know, I'm just as guilty. And the big one that I say all the time is, oh, I am so dumb. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And now when I catch myself say it, right after that, if I'm talking, because I do talk out loud to myself like a crazy person. I even, like, a lot.
I do too.
Like, I was doing it in the grocery store the other day by myself, and I caught someone looking at me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this out loud. Like, I have to stop. Yeah, I look like I forgot to take my medication.
I know. That's what I was just going to say. They're going to be like, call the men in the white coats.
I guess it'll keep people at a distance if I don't feel like talking to other people.
They'll say it in the next door aisle. She's crazy.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling a little bit, but.
So let's move to positive ones.
Yeah, let's. Do you know how to cope positively?
I would say positive self-talk, since, you know, we just talked about that, but
okay.
Have grace for yourself, which we also talked about.
Okay. What are some active things you can do?
Active things you could do.
Like, exercise, what would you tell someone?
Exercise. Yeah. Get outside, breathe some fresh air.
I have a list in front of me, so I want to see how many you can nail off this list.
Okay. Yep. Read a book. Yep.
That's not on the list.
But
it could work.
I'm a reader, so
Well, it would fall into hobbies. So I lie.
Yeah. Hobbies would work.
Hobbies. So if you enjoy reading books, then if you hate reading books, music, then it's not going to help your stress.
Yep. Or making music, or listening to music. Yeah.
Dancing to music.
Yep. Okay. Let's see. Exercise. Get outside. Nature. Hobbies.
Do, 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 do.
I know, right?
When you ask, it's like, I don't know.
As soon as I start saying this money,
you're going to know.
Positive coping skills for 500. Lois is bombing this one. I'm positively self-talking myself right into, boy, that was dumb. On purpose, just so you get my sarcasm.
Okay, listen, we are doing one of the things now. That's a hint.
I'm talking to a friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
spending time with friends and family.
Yes. Yes.
You know, totally. Because it's the opposite of isolating.
Yeah.
Spend time with friends and family. Yes. Right.
Yep.
So if you think of the negatives, what would be the positive flip sides of them? Because it's really just a distortion. Like anything in the world, the enemy has his little
claws in.
Well, no, he always has his like opposite of like whatever God makes, he makes that distortion of it.
He twists
his counterfeit. His counterfeit. Yeah. Yep.
It's twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Broken a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, I got to think what the positive, what the negative.
Okay, is. So, what's the opposite of like flipping out and having a temper tantrum? If you were riled up and you're feeling all stressed out. 10. Uh-huh.
Count to 10 and breathe. Deep breathing.
Very good. I'm going to give it to you. Because it's meditation and relaxation techniques. Yeah. And when you said deep breathing, you can count to 10.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, those walk
around the thing slowly. Like all the things where, you know, kind of ground yourself like that.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, how about, what's the opposite of, I like this game. What's the opposite of the rumination? The negative rumination. Oh, everything's probably catastrophizing and just like when you're in that mode. What would be the opposite?
Okay, I gotta think. Opposite of in your own head, spinning out like spinning cookies in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite of spinning cookies in your head is spinning cookies in the mall parking lot.
Such a stretch. So instead of letting it go all negative like that, turn it like positive.
Well, positive.
Not and now there's a thing called toxic positivity.
Yes, I'm not lying.
Yes, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your world's falling apart. You found out you had a brain tumor, and I send you a meme of a kitten. Hang in there.
Yeah,
everything's gonna work out.
Yeah, like, right. Not the same.
Mm-mm. No, not the same. Like you're not identifying that something's going on.
You are.
You're
just acknowledging truth.
Yeah,
but you're not freaking out in a completely unproductive way, because all that's going to do is give you, you know, heart palpitations and I don't know, lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. It even says finding humor.
Yes. Totally.
Which I use humor as a coping. That's actually one of the positive coping skills I've had my entire life, which I actually got yelled at about before. Because I'm being too jokey and too serious of a situation. I got the giggles at a funeral one time. Oh, it was not good.
Oh, boy.
Like where you can't, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
When you're younger, I was younger, you know, and it hurts because you're trying to hold it in and everything hurts so bad. You just want to stop. You want to die.
Yes. I've done it not at a funeral. I've done it in church where, a funeral is even a step worse.
More, I had to get up and walk out of the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was ashamed.
Yes.
But my humor sometimes goes too far is all I mean. Like I started off, something caught my funny bone. All the dumbest stuff I laugh at.
Yeah.
So, and humor though, but you can find the humor.
Yeah.
You know, when you even called and you're like, you know, every time something is wrong, you're like, oh no, probably a brain tumor. Everyone says it all the time. And you're like, guess what? This time it's like really a brain tumor.
No, I said it's all in my head. It's probably all in my head. And then I'm like, that's not funny. That's not funny.
It is actually kind of funny.
It is funny. But it's not funny too.
Funny, not funny. Yeah. So finding humor is one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going down the list now. Hobbies. You got that one. Mm-hmm. This one, I think we both use quite successfully. Spirituality.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Yes. Turn to the Lord. He is the faithful one.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows all the answers. He does all things well, and he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
He cares so deeply.
And you hear this every time there's a really difficult situation going on and the person's okay-ish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you always say, I don't know I don't know how anyone would get through this without God.
I know.
I've heard this so many times. I've said it myself. I don't know how I would get through this without God. I don't know how people do this.
I know.
This thing called life with trauma and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge help for both of us. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's when a baby or a toddler is flipping out, dysregulated, whatever. There's three things we always check. What do they need?
Yeah. They need food.
Yep.
They need sleep.
Yep.
And they need a clean diaper.
Yep. So a lot of times when you're having a rough time and you need to cope, you need to make sure you're eating, you need to make sure you're drinking water, and you need to make sure you're sleeping well.
Yeah.
Those three things.
Yes.
Sounds basic.
Yeah.
But those three things will help you the most.
Yeah.
Because if you have a lack of any of those,
yeah,
all the other coping skills are going to be really hard to put into place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one on the list. It actually doesn't say all of that. It says getting enough sleep and eating healthy.
Well, you
turned
it up a notch. That's good.
Yeah, but I just think about the same thing you do for your baby is the same thing you need to do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes that's the best thing you can do for your friend who's you make sure that they have those three things when someone's like really in a hard place. If you don't know what to do to help someone, make sure they have food, make sure they have water, and make sure they have a nap.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you this one because I don't even know how to. It says developing a positive view of yourself. So I think this is just about not being so hard on yourself and giving yourself grace. We kind of have to take this Psychology Today stuff and give it, you know, look through the lens of scripture with it.
Yes. Yes, totally.
You know, so developing a positive view of yourself is like what you said about, you know, knowing who you are and your identity or what we were both talking about.
In Christ.
About.
Yes.
In Christ. Yeah.
Because the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. We love ourselves. Automatically.
Oh, naturally.
Naturally, mm-hmm. we love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're selfish and we want our way and we want, you know, the biggest piece of cake and we want the nicest house and the nicest family and the nicest everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't give our neighbor that same respect or love, care, because we want to stick ourselves right out front. And I think that's why the scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. You already love yourself, bonehead.
You want to know
your neighbor.
You want to know what's funny about New England is so many, and I don't know if it's all of New England. I am very sheltered in a small area, but
yeah,
so many people, well, the building code out here and for most of the towns is you have to have like 3 acres or 5 acres or whatever to build your house. I'm not used to that because I was living out west,
right.
Where it's measured in square feet.
Yeah, inches, square inch lot.
I have two paths of my lawnmower.
Yeah.
And so many people that I talk to that are, they're building, well, I'm looking for more land. I'm like, why? I'm like, well, I don't want to have neighbors. Like everyone's like, I don't want to have a neighbor. If you have to have a neighbor, it's like the worst thing for a New Englander.
Yes.
They're like, I want to be in the woods. I don't want to have any neighbors, you know? And I laugh every time because I always think of the scripture, like love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so if they don't have one, then are they exempt from the rule? And so but then it says, who is my neighbor?
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So it's not necessarily just your neighbor, but.
Right. This is the people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people you in your own family, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our nearest neighbor is often either our spouse or our parents, depending whether we're married or not.
Well, I don't know, because that one's like honor your mother and father. I don't think they get two commandments.
What do you mean?
I don't think they can be your neighbor too.
Your spouse?
Your parents.
Oh yeah. They're your one of your when you're growing up, they're your nearest neighbor. They're the ones that
never
are closest
ever
to you.
Thought I never thought about my parents as being my neighbor.
They are. It's really a cool
They are thing. Or they were.
They are. Well, they still are. Your dad is still you're still have a relationship with him.
Yeah. I don't picture him.
Your
I don't
kids,
know.
Your kids well, are your neighbors.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Yep. Kid, parent, spouse, everybody. Co-workers.
I guess I don't know why I would think parents would be exempt, but
yeah. No, and the thing is, we tend to, those nearest neighbors are the ones we hurt the worst as well.
Mm.
We hurt our children, our parents, our spouses because of our selfishness.
I mean, it just goes to say, though, that probably the people you spend the most time with, you'll hurt more.
Yeah, totally.
Because.
Yep.
Because we're humans and we're hurtful people. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right, because we're mm-hmm. selfish and all that. How about this one? Have you ever done journaling for coping?
Yes, that is a very good one. There is one specific time that I journaled. I'm not a journaler. I know people who are. My mother-in-law had kept a diary since she was a teenager. For the most part,
mm-hmm.
she's had little bits of time here and there where she didn't, but for the most part, she's like, her whole life is written down.
It's kind of cool in a way. Although, or is it? Like, I don't think I'd want anyone to read my whole life.
I know, right? Well, she's gone through them and gotten rid of some of them. And, you know, she's sorted it out, hopefully. One of my daughters writes a lot, journals a lot. I write a lot, but I don't journal a lot.
Okay. What do you write about?
One time that I journaled was after I had Kelly.
Mm.
I bought a book, like one of those blank mm-hmm. notebook things, and I bought one for me and one for Al. We each wrote in it. He wrote in his too, which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was one time I did specifically journal.
Yeah, I've only journaled in my really difficult times, which is why I wouldn't want anyone to read them. Because if you just were able to see just my journals, you'd be like, her life's horrid.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not true. It's just that's the only time I feel the need to journal.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it ends up turning into writing a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I found. I thought that was interesting.
Yes. It turns to, help me, Lord, you're the only one who can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a safe way, a safe place to do that without hurting anybody while you work your own thoughts out. Because we don't a lot of times know even what's all up in there. We can't sort it out until we see it. You know, you kind of write as you're feeling and thinking, and then you go back even and read it the next day or even later that day.
Yeah.
And it helps you to understand what you're really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe what you need to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. So yeah, journaling's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. So any of these positive ones are never going to turn into something that's going to become a problem in and of itself.
Right. Right.
I know. Or very, very unlikely. So working out in a gym or whatever, or working,
mm-hmm.
both can turn into a problem too. In length about that, you know, because you can use both of them to just avoid and procrastinate and not do the work on the relationships and do the things that are really
necessary.
Stressing you out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So. So, yeah, I don't know. The goal here is do more of the good ones, do less of the bad ones, create new habits.
Yes.
And hopefully over time, your default for dealing with stress will be a healthy coping mechanism. And you'll draw from that, you know.
Yes.
That will be your go-to.
Yeah. Better coping skills overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally.
They should have a class in elementary school or something. This is the kind of stuff we really need to know. Do we really need to know like U.S. history? Okay. I mean, maybe a little bit, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know me in school. I think we need to learn how to clean houses and change oil and tires and, you know.
Well, yeah, that too.
Jumpstart your car, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Fix basic things.
Yeah. Yeah. Sew on a button.
Well, don't go there with me now, because I don't want to.
You have a shirt with no button, you throw the shirt away.
I do.
Some of us may.
I mean, I might have done that.
Yeah.
No, I used
but
to.
The problem
I used
is to, if you love your shirt, then you got to sew the button back.
No, I've always, God's always been good about putting people in my life. After my mom passed away, she used to, I used to wait, have all my mending. So when she'd come into town, I'd give her my mending and she'd do it.
Yeah.
And then she passed away. And for a while there, I just piled up shirts that needed mending. And then I got mad one day and threw them all away.
Yeah.
There wasn't that many, you know, like three or something.
Yeah.
And now I've realized I have friends in my life that are very talented. Mm-hmm. So now I give them my stuff and I'm like, would you mind putting this?
Yeah.
It's not always a button. It's like, you know, those shirts that button on the back and they have like the little
loop.
The loop broke. I'm like, I don't know how to fix this.
I know. Yeah.
So anyway, or like you have a dress that's like great, but the pit holes are too big.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what you call them. They're probably not called pit holes.
Arm holes.
So all you see is pit.
Yeah. And bra.
So they can,
down to the bottom of your bra.
I'm just glad there's people that know how to do that. I don't want to learn. That's the thing. Yeah. And you know what? I have a huge skill set. So, I mean, if they
bring
can do
me
that,
your I'm... stuff to take care of, and I'll bring you my stuff to take care of, right?
Like, I'll bring you my stuff to fix, and then I'll bring you food that I cooked.
Yes. That's
like,
what I mean.
That's what I do.
You scratch your back, I'll scratch mine.
Yep. Yeah, totally. Yep. Actually, that reminds me. I need to run some soup to my neighbor.
that's a coping skill as well.
Yeah.
Let's tag that into a coping skill where you and another person mutually benefit each other's relationship when they have, you know, it's not the end of the world. The button fell off their dress.
But it's so great to have someone to help in the stuff I don't know how to do and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should share what we know. That's a big thing. Someone just said to me, time is the most valuable thing. It's easier to give money. And I was like, "Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it is.
Yeah. Because time is
at this
finite.
Stage of my life. Mm-hmm. So now we should be fine now. We should know all the bad stuff not to do and all the good stuff to do. And we should be set.
Yes.
And we can live happily ever after now. Stress is going to be like, psh, we have all the skills.
All the coping skills have... Ooh, now the problem is to put them into practice.
To change our default settings.
Practice, practice, practice makes perfect, man.
Practice makes progress.
Progress. We're never going to be perfect until we're out of this flesh suit.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the heavenly robes, man.
Mm-hmm.
New body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good luck, everybody.
Yeah. So good luck.
Okay. Talk to you again soon.